It's not going to be those who've come to a place where they're giving and giving and giving until they have nothing left to give but their very blood, who will eventually be the catalyst for the final overthrow of Satan's dominion, which, oddly enough, does not begin with his being cast out of the earth, but begins with him being cast out of the heavens. I'm going to read this passage in Revelation chapter 12. It's Revelation chapter 12, 5 through 11. It's about the man-child. It says, "And she brought forth a man-child, the woman arrayed with the sun, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled in the wilderness, where she had a place prepared for her, that they should be fed there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." They loved not their lives unto the death. That's how they overcame him. Okay? As I said in a previous session, when we were talking about the man-child and the woman and all that, I said the result of the man-child being called to God, which represents them overcoming Satan, completely overcoming the dragon, is that Michael was released to cast Satan out of the heavens. And after this, the dragon's confined to the realm of the earth. And the way the man-child company overcomes the dragon and is called to the throne is through the blood of the Lamb, by the word of testimony, and because they love not their lives unto death. Loving not their lives unto death, that's sonship. That's the sonship walk. You go all the way to the cross. So these false apostles and prophets are going on spiritual mapping and trying to overthrow the dominion of Satan in this city and that city and this nation and that nation, and they're trying to take bring in the kingdom now and restore dominion, the dominion of mankind over the earth. They got the cart before the horse, you know. They just got the cart before the horse. They're trying to take Satan's dominion away as the prince of this world and the god of this world before his dominion as the prince and the power of the air has been removed. That's not going to work. As long as he remains the prince of the power of the air, he'll never be dethroned as the prince of this world. First, he must have his heavenly dominion broken. Then his earthly dominion will be broken. That's what you see happening with the return of the Lord. But before the return of the Lord, there's going to be a group that go all the way across, who walk in sonship truth, give, till there's no more to give. And that's going to it's going to rise them above and seek them in heavenly places. Rise and run up to where God is, to the throne. And once there's a people up there that come forth in that kind of faith, come forth in that kind of life, went all the way to the cross, then the devil can be cast out of the heavens. He'll be cast down the earth, and then he only has, 3.5 years left. Then he's going to be cast out of the earth and put in a pit. So, as I say, when I always go through that scripture about the devil being cast out of earth, out of heaven into the earth, there's a lot at stake here. There's a lot at stake. And you see, that's one of the reasons the sonship message has been so attacked by the devil. It's one of the reasons he spent so much time skewing the thing and taking people who were getting the truth of sonship and some of the ramifications, the implications of what it means. He took those people and bent their understanding, gave them another revelation that took it off track or something, so that both the people who are preaching it and the people who understand it's error and reject it, everybody has rejected or is preaching the wrong view of sonship. Nobody believes it's true. They won't go to the scripture. They won't look at it. They won't give it a second chance. Just all they know is it came forth from the latter rain. It's what's involved with the current apostasy. It has to all be evil. Okay. And then if you finally do run into somebody who does understand there is a real sonship message, it's not all evil. Half the time, they're preaching some kind of whacked out version of it. They don't understand it. And so I think it's important that somebody stand up for the true message of sonship. It's in the Bible. It's just that simple. I think it's important that somebody stand up and say, hey, there is a true message of sonship in the Bible. It has to do with stewardship. It has to do with giving, giving, giving. Jesus walked the walk of sonship. He was a pattern son. He came forth in sonship. What he lived was a life of sonship. That's what God's called people to. Okay? And this false gospel has taken away that whole thing. And then on top of that, you got the apostasy that comes along, long after the false gospel has been ingrained in the church for 50-100 years. Grace, grace, grace. Get all in heaven. Don't have to prepare for anything. Then on top of that comes the apostasy, which can be traced back to having the roots in sonship teachings and manifest sons of God teachings. I mean, the whole realm of sonship teaching, the whole term has been so blackened and put in a pit so deep that very few people will ever, ever, ever be able to look at it and see it truthfully. And that's what Satan wants. He wants that truth hidden so everybody misses it for whatever reason. They just miss it. Because the sons of God are going to be the man-child, and they're going to dethrone him. Maybe not personally, but they're going to be the catalyst. They're going to be the cause that releases Michael to dethrone him. And in the end, they're going to be taking away his kingdom and dominion in the earth after it's all over too. And he hates that man-child company. He hates sonship. He hates sonship truth. He'll do anything to stop it from going forth, stop anybody from looking at it or receiving it. And so I just wanted to put that out there to you because, you know, it's true. A lot of rain did that error. They were teaching dominionism. And it's a direct connection to what's going on now. But that does not take away the fact that God started bringing forth the truth during that time of sonship, of going on perfection, of what it means, you know, what's going to mean to be a manifested son. See, because what came forth from the latter rain movement was the concept, what the timing was wrong. The whole issue was timing. If they would just kept the timing after the Lord returns for all this, there would be nothing wrong with it. It would have been a true doctrine. Once they moved it up before the return of the Lord and they had all those elements, that's what made it such a terrible heresy. But all the things they're saying are true. It's just it's going to happen after the Lord returns. You got when they talk about the sons of God ruling and reigning with Christ and emptying the hospitals and doing all the things they talk about, which people are trying to do now, which is wrong, which is deception, which is being done by another spirit, that's all going to happen for real when the Lord returns. And everything they taught and everything they saw is going to happen to a group of people. It's just not going to happen before the Lord returns. And when you push it back before the Lord returns, you open up the door to all kinds of strange ideas, all kinds of strange spirits. But God was trying to get that truth out there against this whole evangelical thing that it's just grace. We just believe in Jesus. We just go to church. And then we get to heaven. We'll have it all. And so many Christians, God was trying to bring this truth out in 1948. No. There's a preparation that's going to be needed for this thing. Not everybody's going to be ruling and reigning. Not everybody's going to come forth in the full authority of Christ and everything. There's a preparation that's got to be done now. You wait till it's all over in heaven, you're going to have it. And that's the whole backdrop, the whole focus, the whole foundation of what was going on in the latter rain. God was trying to undo that mindset that's all by grace. You don't have to do anything but believe. And when you get to heaven, God's going to zap you with a magic wand, and everything you should become, all the experience you have to have, all the lessons you should have learned, is going to come on you like some kind of anointing, and you're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. And that what the latter rain thing was, no, that's wrong. That's all false doctrine. You have to be prepared. God has a preparation for you. The promised land is in now, you know, all these things. But then they got off because of the timing, you know, a demon spirit in there, religious spirit, whatever, false revelation, and switched the timing on them so that made everything they were getting that was true wrong. And it is wrong. Anything they say is going to be like that before Jesus returns, wrong, it's error, it's demonic. And that's what's happening now. Now, there is one difference. That's what I want to point out, one difference before I end. There's one difference between people like George Warnock and Bill Britton, T. Austin Sparks, the Houghton brothers, all the people who are involved in the latter rain. Okay, there's one big difference between them and the current false apostles and prophets. The difference is this. All, even though they had the seeds of dominionism in their doctrine, and you know they're wrong, they did not believe they were doing it then. They put the vision out there for the people and said, at a certain point, God's going to come, this anointing is going to come on you. At a certain point, we're going to reach perfection. At a certain point, we're going to be manifest. At a certain point, we're going to go behind the veil. At that point, you know, we're going to be manifest the sons of God. We're going to have all this power to do this thing. But they didn't claim, and they didn't even believe that it was happening to them right now, that they were themselves were going to do it. You know, not most of them. Okay. What the difference between them and these people today, the apostles now, they believe they're doing it now. They're not just saying we can do it in the future. It's going to happen in the future. They're saying we're doing it right now. We are doing it right now. And they have been given power by Satan to counterfeit, so it looks like they're doing it right now. That's the big difference. You know. So a lot of these guys back in the 48, They had good intentions, they had good motives, they were real Christians. And that doctrine that got in there was wrong doesn't mean they're false, they're possessed, like Todd Bentley is now. That's not the case. What happened, though, this as the generations go forward, the manna gets decayed more, the error gets worse, the demons get stronger, and by the time you come up to now, these guys have the power to actually implement the vision that was given back in the 40s and 50s. Only it's the wrong vision, I mean, it's the wrong spirit doing it, you know. So there is a difference between the original men like George Warnock and you can't put George Warnock in the same category as Todd Bentley. You just can't. It's impossible. George Warnock is a real Christian. He's still alive, 90-some years old, And he's a believer. He's a true child of God. You know, Todd Bentley's not even saved. He's possessed by demons. He's in the occult. There's no comparison. So even though there's some of the same error going on there, some of it was in seed form back in Latter Rain, but those people were actually saved. Most of them. They're actually saved. They're actually in relationship with the Lord. These people today are just under an Antichrist spirit. Just under an Antichrist spirit. So it's not good enough just to say, well, they're preaching some of the same things. Must be in the same spirit. I don't believe that's true. You can believe whatever you want, but I don't believe that's true. I believe the error got in and the doctrine of the men who were Christians, and they're being fulfilled. The error is now being fulfilled by men who are not Christians. It's that simple. That's my view. But however, even if that's not true, still, at that time, God was pouring out truth about sonship. Okay? He's pouring out truth about sonship. To get that whole thing about just believe by grace, go to heaven, get hard, you die. Yeah, we have to be prepared. Let me just say this quick. That was the whole reason for Israel going through the wilderness. You know, God could not bring Israel out of Egypt and take them straight into the promised land. He couldn't have done it if he wanted to. They were inexperienced. They had no idea how to fight. They were selfish. They had a slave mentality. They had no idea what it meant to be a child of the king. They had no confidence in God, no faith in walking God. They had no ability, power, or strength to fight the giants in the land of Canaan. He had to take them through the desert, prepare them, bring them forth. Establish a relationship with them. Teach them through trials and testings. Teach them how to trust him, you know. And it's the same way with us. You know, we don't just go right into heaven. You're not just going to get saved and go right into heaven and receive everything. You have to be prepared for your destiny, for the thing God has for us. You have to be prepared. That's the whole thing God was showing these people back in 48. This whole thing about having grace, just believing, getting all in heaven is not true. And if you believe that, you're going to miss it in the end. You may end up in hell, but you're not going to gain the prize of the high calling. You're not going to reach the reason. You're not going to fulfill the goal of salvation. You may be saved. Maybe saved in the end. But you're not going to fulfill the goal of salvation. The goal of salvation is to come forth in the image of Jesus Christ. In sonship. Okay? And so that's what was coming forth in 48. And it got all messed up. It got entangled with demons. But there's still truth there. And I'm going to stand up for it. That's what I want to do. I will stand up for the truth. Because there's somebody out there who's got to understand this. Sonship is true doctrine. It's the truth of God's word. And it's the sons of God who are going to rule and reign with Jesus. Okay? So, let me look here, see what's going on, if anybody's writing anything here. In a way, you're teaching that some people hope to take the kingdom by political, cultural means, or religious means, rather than to enter into it by giving our... Yes. And the whole issue is timing. Ernest says, we give our land, give our all, and then he could... That's right. That's right, Irma. George Warnock's book on the Feast of Tabernacles is a wonderful book. It's full of good truth. It's just one problem. He puts the fulfillment of the third part of that feast. You know, I told you before, the Feast of Tabernacles is broken up into three sub-feasts, trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and booths, which is tabernacle proper. The trumpets and the Day of Atonement happen at the end of this age. They are fulfilled at the end of this age. Keep that separation there. Then all the types of shadows and all the things that you get from the Old Testament that come out of those truths, what they represent, is fine. But if you try to put booths proper, the third part of that feast, the third part of the Feast of Tabernacles, if you try to move that back into this age at all, it's error. You got dominionism. You got all kinds of crazy, weird things that are not biblical against the Scripture. And that's what Brother George Warnock did. He didn't realize it, and probably wouldn't listen to him if I told him, but it's a fact. When he wrote about the tabernacles, he not only said trumpets and atonement is in this age. He also said we're going to start partaking of tabernacles in this age. And that's where dominionism comes in. Okay? So as long as you keep tabernacles proper at the return of the Lord, starting the return of the Lord, everything else in that book is fine. But of course, people read that book, they pick out a few errors, and they're going to say, well, the rest of it's error. If he's wrong there, then the rest of it must be a demon spirit. It must be a wrong doctrine. So we're not going to worry about it. Now, we passed George Warnock's book out, Tabernacles, Feast of Tabernacles. We passed hundreds on them out for years. You know, I don't pass them out anymore because... Since the apostasy has taken hold and they're preaching dominionism and there is dominionism in that book, I'm not going to be party to passing out a book that has dominion. Even if it's only one or two lines, I'm not going to do that. But anyway, I'm just trying to say that there's a lot of truth that came out of the latter rain that got messed up just because of the timing. It's not that everything they saw was wrong. It's that once you move it back into this age, before Jesus returns physically, you've got error going everywhere, every which direction. But you just move it back to where Jesus comes, that everything they saw, everything God was showing them is absolutely true. It's absolutely true. It's going to happen. But it's just that one little issue, the timing. It's a difference between the Antichrist and Christ, between truth and error. It's horrible. So anyway, that was my bird for the night. I told you the other week I was gonna, try and say a little something about sonship, the manifest sons of God in the coming weeks, and I thought to try and start something there because people don't know the difference. They have no idea what's true, what's false, and all you're gonna get from the discernment sites is that the whole thing was wrong. The whole idea is demonic, and stay away from everything, stay away from it all, and that's not true. Not helping anybody. Not helping anybody. They're just driving God's people away from the truth they could see. You got to discern the good as well as evil. You got to be able to discern the good as well as evil. So, amen. So that's about it. That's about it. Okay, wait a minute.
Dan, am I on? Oh, great. Dan, I just loved this message tonight. I was introduced to the latter rain many years ago, and this sonship message you gave relating to how Jesus gave and gave from the very beginning. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Irma. You were breaking up a little bit. I think your mic was in and out, but I heard a lot of it, so thanks for sharing. Amen. Anybody else have anything you'd like to add to that or share or anything? Robbie says, as my faith grows, I find myself willing to sow more abundantly, but I often find myself unsure when to sow, where to sow, how to sow. I assume that's for the Holy Spirit to reveal. Amen. Sometimes it's obvious, oftentimes it's not obvious at all, and I don't want to waste my giving on unfruitful works. Any thoughts, Dan? No, I don't really have any thoughts. I can't tell you. Just gotta find somebody who's helping you, who's relating to you the truth, or who you're getting life from, and maybe you help them. Lots of people just help the poor. There's poor around their neighborhood. There's poor around their houses. Sometimes God speaks to do that. Maybe people you can give some. They need some kind of help. I don't tithe. I don't tithe. I don't give regularly to anybody. However, all our money and all our resources are at God's disposal. So I may not give anybody any money for a couple of weeks. I might turn around and give somebody $100 just a drop of a hat, or give half of whatever I have. It's not that you have to give every week, or you have to give here, you have to give there. It has to be at God's disposal. Okay, it has to be at God's disposal. So he can say, give $10, $100, give everything you got, give your car away, give whatever, give yourself away, whatever. That's all. And so the whole tithing thing is just a bondage because people are just doing the minimum. They're just doing the minimum. Say, God, I'm like a slave. I can't serve you wholeheartedly. I just go do what's necessary to get by, do the minimum, But as far as who to give and when to give, you're gonna have to be led by the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you. Well, sorry about that. Give as the Holy Spirit leads, Yellow says. His money is time. Yeah, right. When we go places, different things, I'm free with my money. I'm just saying I'm free with my money. If I don't have anything play to give, or I don't feel good to lead me to give, I'm just free in everyday use of my money with other people. I see a need, I just give somebody money for it. I give things away. I give tape players away. I give my books away free. All my information, everything I do with the ministry, give away free. So what God wants to develop is a giving people, a giving attitude. It's not so much you got to have a record of who you give here, you got to get there, you got to do so much money here. So much. It's the thing of giving everything. Everything to God, giving everything to the brethren, giving everything to anybody God tells you to give to. Just give your life away. Give your life away. And God will show you how to do that as you can. Sometimes it's not practical. You're married to a spouse. The spouse might not want you to give you $100 away to somebody. So you got to deal with all kinds of things there. But that's the attitude God's trying to come forth and bring forth in us. Just give your life away. Give your life away. That's all I can say. And God can show us how to do that. It's not always money. We had a brother come down a couple of summers ago, left the Hutterite movement, and stay with us. And I gave him my guitar. I gave him another one of those things you play, has a push a button and strings, all kinds of strings. I forget the name of it. And I just gave him stuff. he was playing, he learned to play the guitar, and he wanted to play guitar. Didn't have a guitar, and he got here. I gave him mine. So it's just, it was a good guitar. It wasn't junk either, by the way. I'm just saying. That's the givers, to be givers, to giving away. It's the opposite of what Christianity is right now. Christianity is taking, taking, taking. Everything you can get from each other, everything to get from people, everything you can get from God. Take, take, take. Give, says the horse leech. That's all I can say. That's what Christianity is today. And that's just the opposite of what God wants. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad I got that out. without the rain messing up. So the Lord was faithful. Thank you for everybody who prayed. Anybody going to jump on the mic and share? Anybody have anything? Would you like to hear another song? Everybody see that? Can everybody see that words? All right, here we go. Hold on a little longer. Hold on a little stronger. For the testings of the Lord are pure as gold. He may take you through the fire, but he'll burn out dross and mire. So hold on a little longer. Hold on. Hold on a little longer. Hold on a little stronger. For the testings of the Lord are pure as gold. He may take you through the fire, but he'll burn out dross and mire. So hold on a little longer. Hold on. You took the hand of Jesus and you stood upon his promise, yet it seems you have trusted him in vain. But the answer you have prayed for is on its way and paid for. So hold on a little longer. Hold on. Hold on a little longer. Hold on a little stronger. For the testings of the Lord are pure as gold. He may take you through the fire, but he'll burn out dross and mire. So hold on a little longer. Hold on. Hold on a little longer. Hold on a little stronger. For the testings of the Lord are pure as gold. He may take you through the fire, but he'll burn out dross and mire. Hold on a little longer. Hold on. You took the hand of Jesus and you stood upon his promise, yet it seems you have trusted him in vain. But the answer you have prayed for is on its way and paid for. So hold on a little longer. Hold on. Hold on a little longer. Hold on stronger. For the testings of the Lord are pure as gold. He may take you through the field, burn out dross and mire. So hold on a little longer. Hold on. Hold on a little longer. Hold on a little stronger. For the testings of the Lord are pure as gold. He will take you through the fire, but he'll burn out dross and mire. So hold on a little longer. Hold on.
Amen.
Amen. Well, anybody have anything you'd like to share before we close up? Anything at all? Thanks, Judy. Is that still Judy, I guess? Thanks, Judy. Okay. Well, if nobody has anything, I guess we'll shut her down for the night. And thank you all. I'm glad you came. Thanks for coming. And I guess we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise. Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. We'll see you.